The following is a paid advertisement of St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedics. References to any specific product, services, or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by St. Anthony Hospital, Carroll Broadcasting, or its advertisers. The views expressed by the host or guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. Welcome to the St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedic Show with Dr. Richard Godding. Dr. Godding specializes in joint preservation, reconstruction, and replacement surgery, and brings over 25 years of orthopedic excellence to St. Anthony Hospital and to the Carroll area. For more information about Dr. Godding, his practice, or St. Anthony Orthopedics, go to stanthonyhospital.org or make an appointment by calling 712-794-5536.
Good Sunday morning, Iowa. It's Dr. Rick Godding. Thank you for choosing to spend a little bit of time with me here this morning. And it's unmistakably fall now. There's just that, I mean, it's not cold, but there's just enough in the air. I don't know what it is, but it's just like, yep, it is fall. And yeah, that's really, like I said, my mom is moving up here in a few weeks from Oklahoma. And so the whole sort of apple orchard experience and that kind of stuff, she's not done, so that'll be fun. And she'll be looking forward to seeing what all this stuff looks like in Iowa, because she's not been able to come up much the last few years because of some health issues with my stepfather. And but yeah, we're a lot of transition in the Godding household. My oldest daughter, Sydney's last first day of school. She's a senior, and boy, that's a kind of a bittersweet moment. That whole dropping her off at college is going to be one of those really tough things for me. I can already tell I'll be crying on the way home, because I am going to miss her so much. And it's just one of those things. I mean, life goes a certain way, and you have to let them go, right? That's the whole idea, is you have your time with them, and then it's gone, and then you just kind of patiently wait for grandkids. But, you know, since she's going to be a freshman in college, I'm sure we're wide a ways away from grandkids. So I still have my youngest for the next 3 years, so, and then we'll be full empty nesters. It's I guess this fall is making me really feel like, yeah, it's probably September in my life right now. It's my life. The next few years are my Labor Day. So still good weather, can still go to the beach, but things are probably inevitably going to start getting a little bit harder and colder, and as things go, you know, I'm doing everything I can to really stay healthy and exercising as much as I possibly can, because I know that it's going to pay dividends down the road. And I would suggest that for anybody at whatever age you are, figure out some way to get some exercise. And it's the consistency that matters. You know, if you do something 3 times a week, you're going from nothing to maybe you buy yourself a stationary bike and you're going to ride that, let's say 10 minutes 3 times a week. Well, hey man, that adds up over time. And then maybe you go to 15 minutes, and maybe you go to 20, maybe you go to 4 days a week. And then maybe you can't get through the day without your 20 minutes on the bike. And maybe that leads to, maybe I'm not going to have a donut this morning because I just spent 20 minutes on my bike, and I'm going to do that again, and then that whole thing's gone if I eat a donut. And so it sort of compounds on itself. And, you know, from an orthopedic perspective, obviously the less weight you're carrying, the easier it is on your joints, especially your weight-bearing joints, your hips and your knees. But, you know, there's a lot of people who come to my office with knee pain and even with some significant knee arthritis. And what I tell them is the first thing I would do to treat this, if I were you, is to try to get some weight off, because it really does make a huge difference. So the way the knee works, the kneecap bends around the end of the femur. And the way it works is your thigh muscles contract, and so it's pulling the kneecap, the patella is the technical name of the bone, it's pulling it straight up towards your hip, straight up your leg towards your hip. And that is pulling the tibia, which is the shin bone, forward. Well, as you're walking along, you're going to get somewhere on the order of 1.2 times your body weight is going to go across that little joint about the size of a half dollar. So that's a lot of force going across a small place. If you're going upstairs, it can be up to 1.7 times your body weight. Walking up and down hills, same thing. It's more than your body weight with every step across that little half dollar size piece of cartilage on the back of your kneecap. And then, of course, then it runs in a groove on the end of your femur. And even if you have had knee pain for years, if you lose, like, let's say you have 70 pounds to lose. If you lose 70 pounds, your knees are going to feel better, probably. Not 100%, but I've rarely had anyone lose that amount of weight and not say, hey, my knees feel better. And I've had patients who have come to me looking for a knee replacement. And I say, well, go lose 100 pounds and then we can do your knee replacement. And sometimes they come back and they say, oh, let's do the knee replacement. But once in a while, they come back and they say, you know what? My knees feel fine. I'll catch you later. And so it is important. And of course, if you've been listening for a while, you know, I do the carnivore diet. I haven't been as perfectly carnivore in the last few months. And so I've gained a little bit of weight back. So I am, the last 4 months of this year, I'm rededicating to full carnivore. It's tough. And then like this last weekend, we were working at the PTA tent at this street fair. And yeah, I was just staring at these food trucks across across the way all day. And I broke down and I had a sandwich. And I don't often eat sandwiches. It was a bad eating day. Let's just say that. And so it just, and I just didn't feel good. Nothing about me felt good the next day. I'm like, okay, I'm back. I'm doing the straight and strict carnivore. Try to get those few pounds. I gained about 15, 16 pounds this year. I'm trying to get those back off by the end of the year. If you're like me, my weight has been something I have needed to regulate and work on since I was, I did the Atkins diet in seventh grade because I was really big in seventh grade. And then I did it again the summer after my eighth grade year going into high school. I didn't want to be fat starting high school, and I was really, really obese at the time. And anyway, it runs in my family. My brother, who has since passed, he had a gastric bypass. My dad always struggled. He never got as big as my brother got, but he got sort of as big as I was at my biggest. And, you know, he always had to. So some people are just lucky. They can just eat, just watch what they eat a little bit, and then they don't get heavy. I mean, but you have to deal the cards you're dealt. I mean, sorry, you have to play the cards you're dealt in every aspect of this life, of course, but especially with health. We all have heard the story of the 90-year-old lady who smokes and drinks whiskey and eats donuts. And I mean, now that's an exaggeration, but you know, people who just don't take care of themselves and they're just doing great in their 90s. I mean, you know, that's great. I mean, some people actually win the lottery too. but most of us are going to have to think a lot, especially in the American food system, which has become very, very unhealthy over the last few decades. You know, we have to pay a lot of attention to what we eat. And, you know, I feel strongly that meat is, I think, the best food for you. After a year of the carnivore diet, all of my markers of everything, my inflammation, my blood sugar down, my cholesterol down, my HDL up, my LDL down, triglycerides down big time. So all my markers of metabolic health improved dramatically. Now, I also worked out a lot. And so, you know, I can't say that it was all just the diet, but I worked out a lot before that too. I've always worked out a lot, whether it's been riding my mountain bike lots of hours a week or spending lots of hours in the gym. Right now, I mostly ride my mountain bike just for fun, which I love to do, especially this time of the year. You know, so I'm not like going out there and doing 3-hour rides just for exercise. I go out and I ride, and when I'm tired of riding, I go home. But I'm in the gym 3 days a week. I have a particular workout I do. I try to mix it up you know, every 3 months or so, I try to change it up. Because what'll happen is, if you do just the exact same stuff all the time, your body, it doesn't shock your muscles as much. So you got to kind of switch it up. And so, of course, at this time in my life, I'm trying to be very careful with my joints, which I would suggest. And I don't do heavy weights because heavy weights are for kids. If you're lifting heavy and you're over 50, you're headed for an injury. And I know there's some people that's all they do and that's what they're going to do. And some people lift heavy till they're 85, like Jack LaLanne, who some of you may remember. But again, we're talking about people sitting on top of the bell curve, which is most of us. Most of us are going to, if you're lifting heavy after you're 50, you're probably going to injure yourself. If you're running distances after 50, you're going to probably run into some trouble. But hey, there's worse things. But I think a solid, well-designed exercise program, because you need to have what we call resistance exercises, which essentially just means weightlifting. I mean, it doesn't have to be weights. It can be push-ups. It can be whatever. A lot of people think, oh, well, I'll walk or I'll jog and that'll be fine, or I'll ride my bike. And that's okay. But if you're not exercising at least your upper body with some weightlifting, and it doesn't have to be heavy. It can just be a little bit. It builds muscle mass, which helps you metabolize carbohydrates, which helps you, it helps keep your heart healthier. I mean, there's definitely a tremendous advantage on resistance exercises over just doing cardio. And like I said, it's a lifelong project. And what I really want to be 20 years from now, 75, and talking about what I'm doing to maintain my health, because otherwise I either at that point had thrown in the towel or had something really bad happen or something like that. So I'm hoping that I can still do the things. I'm hoping I'm still riding my mountain bike when I'm 75 and maybe surfing every once in a while. We went down to Mexico a few weeks ago with the family and took my girls out surfing, and just small waves, shoulder high, but beautiful beach. And just sitting out there with my girls on the boards, talking and looking at the gorgeous scenery around us and watching them paddle into waves was something that I hope to be doing for a very, very long time. And so that's why I think it's really important. And even honestly, like, my mom is 81, or I guess just turned 82. Yep, just turned 82. And I tell her, you know, body at rest stays at rest, body in motion stays in motion. That doesn't, as a matter of fact, it's the opposite. You don't get to say, well, I'm old, or I'm older now, and so I can just sit and rest. I mean, you can, but it stacks up on you a lot quicker. Your body, it's a lot harder to build muscle and maintain it as you get older, but it's not impossible. It's absolutely not impossible. You can be 80 and say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get a little set of weights, some 2.5, some 3, and some 5-pound weights, and maybe even a 1-pound. Like, get just a few little weights. And I'm going to spend 5 minutes a day, 3 days a week, doing some exercises with those. And then, again, and then you move to maybe doing it 6 minutes a day, 7 minutes a day. There's no point at which I think, just based on your age, that you should throw in the towel and not try to make yourself healthier. And in all of your muscles, for instance, your rotator cuff, which is something I talk about a lot about fixing it. Well, one of the ways to help avoid having rotator cuff problems is keeping your rotator cuff strong. The size of the cuff itself. So the cuff is just a tendon that goes around the shoulders. And this is true for any tendon in your body. A tendon is a little piece of tissue that attaches a muscle to a bone. And then a ligament attaches a bone to a bone. But your tendons specifically, since they're so driven by the motion that you are creating with them, they actually get bigger and stronger as you use them more. Now, I mean, there's a limit to it. They're not just going to infinitely get bigger and stronger. But they will maintain strength and size just like muscles. So tendons and muscles both get bigger and stronger when you use them. Bones get stronger too. So, you know, that's why if you're 75 and you fall, your chance of having a hip fracture is a whole lot higher than it was when you were 25, right? Full stop. But if you walk plenty and maybe do some resistance weight and get good nutrition and plenty of protein, you can avoid these types of injuries. You can, you know, you can improve the health of your joints and your bones by exercise and eating a good diet with plenty of protein and as little, you know, sugar and super simple carbohydrates. All the sugars, all the snacks, all that stuff. Less of that and more meat and more exercise. It's just, I know it sounds like, yeah, I've heard this before. And a lot of times it takes a lot to get people motivated to change. And there's the only person who can motivate your own change is you. But I think that my big emphasis is that it really does not matter how old you are. You can still do some muscle gaining and some fat loss and improve your just how you're going through life. You know, maybe buy a treadmill or maybe just go to the local mall. A lot of the local shopping malls will, I mean, even if they don't have it all marked out, you can certainly go walk around. They're not going to stop you. I'm talking about in the winter. Of course, right now, you just hit the sidewalk or the path, whatever. But I guess because we all think of our own mortality, that's the one guarantee of everybody alive today is one day you won't be, right? And how are you going to spend that time? And it's a health span is what they call it, where you are focused more on how you live the years rather than how many years you live. So I want to promote that. And it's interesting, you know, that just reminds me, I had a patient the other day who was the first time I've ever had a patient tell me this, had a near-death experience that actually took him to the morgue. And then he kind of, he was paralyzed, but could kind of see. So he went away and came back and then was sort of seeing his body and then kind of was able to move. And he was actually in the morgue and they said, oh my gosh, he's still alive, and took him back. And there he was in my office telling me about his knee pain. And it was really interesting, his story. I mean, there's definitely, if you start listening to people who have had those experiences, it makes it clear to me that the end of this planet is not the end of everything. But that's a different whole conversation. But anyway, I just thought it was interesting. I never had anybody that I personally knew that had one of those experiences. And it was fascinating to hear about it. And, but like I said, you just start, you know, when you get to be 55, it's just, when 45 sounds young to you, you know, you're getting old. And I guess just going into the fall and getting ready to send my daughter to her senior year, you start thinking about these things. And the number one thing I want to do is be healthy. And of course, for me personally, and you know, spiritually healthy, and but physically healthy, and be able to be around as long as I can in a good form of a body that is able to go watch my grandkids do whatever they're going to do and still continue to, I mean, even at this point, watch my daughters do, you know, their volleyball and the different things that they're doing, and go visit them when they're in college and have some fun, go to a football game, those kind of things. So I just encourage everybody to make a plan to improve your health over the winter, because winter can tend to be, it's hard for me, you know, because there's a lot less being outside and being active. But find a gym, get something in your house, some exercise equipment, go to the community center, make it a program where at the end of this winter, you can come out in the spring feeling better, ready to tear into a new season of life. But that's my message today. Get yourself healthier and don't let the winter suck the life out of you. So with that, thank you for joining me, and I'll be back, and you have a blessed week, Iowa.
This has been the St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedic Show with Dr. Richard Godding. For more information about Dr. Godding, his practice, or St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedics, go to www.stanthonyhospital.org or make an appointment by calling 712-794-5536.